power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or even imagine. That would be our testimony for the many years that we have spent serving him. Even before we went to Romania, we found that God could do the unexpected things, and often did do the unexpected things. We had to simply learn to listen to him. Too often, we rush in with our prayers, and our prayers are, Lord, this is what I want you to do. Please bless it. Please work it out. I remember my very first church as a pastor. We had a church that was downtown in the city of Accrington in Lancashire. And within a short time of my going there, we found that we were going to lose our building because we were on the second floor over a dry cleaner's shop, and a new building was built behind the shop, which was going to be a supermarket, and they wanted a drive-in for the trucks to get in to the loading bay for the supermarket. And so we were told we had 30 days to find another place. And I searched all over that town, and I could not find any suitable place. But in the next town, the town of Church, I could find an empty shop that had been empty for about 20 years and was full of dry rot and mold and was in a terrible condition. And that was the only building in that whole area that was available. And I was so upset about that. I got down before God and I said, Lord, I'm going to spend this whole day fasting and praying because you've got to resolve this. You've got to find us another place. And as I was praying and telling God what he ought to do, suddenly it seemed like a voice from heaven said, be still and know that I am God. And I said, thank you very much, Lord. I remember Psalm 46, verse 10. But now, this is what you need to do to resolve this situation. You've got to find us another place, and you've got to find one that's on the bus route, because where we were was right next to the marketplace, and the buses all came in to the bus station, which was next to the marketplace at the other side, and so everybody could get to our church so easily. And now we were losing that place, and this new prospect, it was the people who came into the marketplace had to change buses and get another bus to go out to where the church was. And so it meant two buses. So I knew a lot of the older folk wouldn't be able to make it and wouldn't follow through in attending the church. So I said, God, you have just got to find another place. And again, the voice came, be still and know that I am God. I said, thank you very much, Lord. I remember that. You just reminded me about that. But now, this is what you need to do, Lord. And then I heard that voice again, louder and more insistent. Be quiet and listen to me. I'm God, and I've had more experience at being God than you have. And I stopped and I said, yes, Lord. He said, I've been God forever, and I've solved problems far greater than any that you're facing. So leave it to me. You just get on preparing this building for the church. But Lord, what am I going to do? Paint it, clean it, get rid of the mold, move the furniture in, and be ready to open. Well, we'd started out with 30 days. By now, we'd only got 2 weeks left. And so I said on cleaning the inside and then said on painting the outside. And I was up the ladder on the Tuesday and I heard a voice saying, what's this going to be? I looked down and there was a large, muscular man looking up at me. I said, this is going to be a church. He said, do you have a padre? Well, I guess he must be from the military because that was the term that the military used for the pastor. I said, well, we call it a pastor and I am the pastor. He said, I don't believe that. He said, I've never seen a padre doing any work. I said, well, you have now. I'm painting the outside of the church. He said, can I talk to you? I said, okay. So we stepped inside so he could talk in private. He told me of his exploits during the Second World War, how he was a Marine commando with his own hands. He had killed 17 young men, German soldiers. And he said, though the faces of those young men haunts me. He said, I know it was war and I know it was what I was supposed to do, but to kill so many people with my own hands, he said, I cannot escape from the guilt of what I have done. He said, I feel so bad about this. Is there any hope or forgiveness for someone like me? And I said, well, yes, there is. And I led him to faith in Christ. He said, well, I got a problem. He said, I'm living with a girl I'm not married to. He said, we've been living together now for 17 years. So he said, would you be willing to conduct the wedding for us? So that we can attend the opening of the church next Sunday? I said, well, the church doesn't officially open until this weekend. He said, well, if I get a special license, I could get married on Friday or Saturday. And so Saturday came and he got his license and we had the wedding for the first wedding. The church hadn't even had its opening ceremony until the Sunday, but the day before we had a wedding. And he said, there's one thing, I'd like to invite my old military buddies to come along with their wives and girlfriends and families. He said, a lot of them are just like me. And he said, would you preach a gospel message and invite them to come forward and receive Christ during that service? So my first wedding was an evangelistic service, and we gave an invitation, and we ended up with 34 people kneeling across the front of the church, accepting Christ as their Savior, alongside of the couple who were getting married. And God filled the church because he knew exactly what he wanted to do. He had got a plan, and he said, be quiet, be still, and listen to me. I know more about being God than you do. You're just trying to be God. I've always been God. And when we went to Romania, we found out that God knows exactly what it is to be God, because he can bring out of the most impossible situation the most wonderful and unexpected results. No matter what we ask for, God can do it. God can resolve it, and he can often resolve it in ways that we do not expect. When we went to Pitesh to establish that church, God had a wonderful way of organizing things and making things happen that were beyond our expectation. When I arrived in that whole region of Romania, a region called Muntenia, there were only 6 Pentecostal churches, tiny little churches hidden up in the mountains that had been there in a kind of underground situation during the communist days. And now in December of 1989, the communist regime was replaced by a new kind of regime. A regime that was open to the preaching of the gospel. So open, in fact, that at one point, the pastor of that new church in Pitesh showed me a dossier, a file folder that he had that was full with 32 letters from different towns and villages around Pitesh asking for us to go and establish a church in their community. We went to those communities not because we wanted necessarily to go or selected them, but because the town council and the mayor wrote and asked us, please come and start a church here. We need a church in our community. We went to one place called Hirsesht to start a church, and it started in a home, and God blessed, and there was a good response in that home. And then the mayor gave a piece of land right next to the primaria, the city hall or the town hall, for building a church. And a team came from Spain and helped with some of the finances and erecting the walls, and we were raising the money to put the roof on and to finish it off. And when we could only get 30-day visa at that time, and so we'd been out of the country. We came back 30 days later. That Spanish team had been there during those 30 days doing some of the building work, and we came back. We were ready to put the roof on, and when the mayor saw me arrive, he decided that he wanted to come and inspect the work that was going on. And it was a nice-sized church. It would seat about 150 people. And this was a village of 300 people. And so as we walked in, he followed us behind, and he looked around, and he suddenly said very loudly, "What's going on here? What are you building?" And so the young man who was in charge of the building work said, "We're building the church." He said, "But how many seats have you got?" He said, "About 150. He said, "And where does the rest of the village go to church? We have 300 people in this village, and you only put in seats for 150? You only want half of the village to come to church. That is not right. If I had known you would only build a church big enough for half the village, I wouldn't have given you this land. I thought you were going to build a church big enough for everyone to attend." And so I said, "Well, what we're planning to do is we'll build this church, and then we will build another church on the outskirts of the village so that the people who live in that area won't have so far to come to the church, and we'll put up a second church. And he said, "Oh, good. Well, then I'll allow you to continue." He said, I know the very piece of land where you can build a second church. So as soon as you finish this one, it'll be full, and then you can start on the second church." God has a way of doing more than we ask or even imagine. We imagined that it was a great step of faith to build a church that would seat 150 people in a village that would that had 300 residents. And yet that mayor and his council, they wanted a church that would seat 300 people. Well, instead they got two churches. And so God worked in a powerful and an unexpected way, because God has a way of exceeding our imagination. No matter what we plan to do, God has a way of doing far more. There was an old gypsy couple who lived in a village called Skitugalesht, and they used to walk from there to the nearby town of Kumpalung Muschel, meet with some other believers, and then walk up into the mountains to the only Pentecostal church in that area, in a place called Albesht. And as they went, they would pray that one day God would raise up a church in Kumpalung Muschel. Jenny Marin and his wife, who were the old couple from the gypsy village of Skitugalesht, they never prayed that God would raise up a church in their village, because they were the only believers. There were no other believers in the village, just the two of them. But as they walked, they would pray. Well, God did open the door for us to start a church in Kumpalung Muschel. And Nello Bokian and I went, and with the young man who was going to become the pastor, Philemon Churia, we found an old house, and we pulled down the walls on the upper level to make a big meeting room, and it would seat about 120 people. And we were thrilled this was going to be a great church in the town of Kumpalung Muschel. And God began to bless during the crusade, and more people came. And eventually, after just a few days, in fact, about 3 days, the church was full. And then we had the doors open, and they could meet on the balcony as well. And so that was filled, and it filled the yard of the house, and then spilled over into the street. And within a week, or about 10 days, there was quite a crowd gathering there. Well, little did we know that among those who came and stood outside were two young men who worked on the market just down the road. Their names were Ian and Petra. And they came and they stood outside so that the crowd outside could hear. We took out the windows, and we took down the doors, and the sound would go out and the people outside could hear. Later, they told me what they saw. The young man, Petra, said, standing right alongside of me was a man with a withered arm. And he said, suddenly, as he was listening to the sermon, he suddenly raised his arm, and I watched as flesh and muscle and bone grew and extended, and that arm became normal, just like his other arm. And he began to move his arm around, and he said, "Look, God has healed me." And people were astonished as they looked around. And then Eon said, "Well, I was standing right alongside of Petra, and suddenly the man alongside of me, who was in a wheelchair, got up and started running back and forth with his wheelchair, and he hadn't walked for years." And then Petra said, "Yes, and I saw someone who was blind receive their sight." And Eon said, "I saw someone who was deaf begin to speak." And one after another, miracles were taking place as they were listening to the word of God, not through anyone laying hands on them, anointing them with oil, although that's, we also did that, not through any techniques or any manipulation on our part or our persuading people, that we weren't even talking about God's healing power. Yet God confirmed his word with signs and wonders that astonished that crowd and made a tremendous impact. Eon and Petra went back to their village, and they went from door to door to door, telling people what they had seen and what they had witnessed in the nearby town of Kumpulung Muschel. And finally, they had led 40 of their neighbors to faith in Christ. And then they decided that they needed a church in their village. And so they went to the door and knocked on the door of Yeni Marin, and said to him, when Yeni answered the door, they said, "Yeni, you and your wife have been the only Christians in this village for more than 30 years. Now there are 40 other believers in Christ. We know that you're old and that you have a spare room in your house. Will you give that room to us to be a church?" Yeni and his wife had prayed that God would raise up a church in the town of Kumpulung Muschel, some 10 miles away. God said, "I'll do more than that. I'll give it to you right in your own house." And not only that, they said, "And Yeni, will you become our pastor? Because you've been a Christian for so long and you know the Lord, and you can teach us the word of God." And so they met in his house. I took Sheila to meet Yeni Marin and his wife one time. And when we arrived at the house, there was no answer. And so I shouted alongside the house, "Yeni Marin, Yetua Kasa, are you at home?" And Yeni's wife came alongside the house. And she said, "Oh, Frater Ian, Brother Ian, come round the back." I thought they were working in the garden behind, so I went around the back, and they were in she said, we're in the shed. And so we went to the tool shed, and there was a bed in there and a table and a chair, and Yeni was sitting in there. I said, "What are you doing here?" He said, "Oh, Fratty, and you wouldn't believe what happened." He said, "First it was one room, and then more came. And so it was two rooms, and then more came, and they pulled down the walls and took the whole house for the church. And we have to now live in the shed here because there isn't room for us to live in the house anymore. There are just so many people who are coming to hear the word of God in that church. God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or even imagine." That certainly went beyond Yeni Marin's imagination, and certainly would have gone beyond my imagination if I had known what his prayer was at that time. And God was the one who did it. He brought the people in. He was the one who brought the crowd. He was the one who brought Ian and Petra. And he was the one who sent them door to door to door in the village of Skitu Galesht to share their faith with those who had resisted for so many years. They had resisted the gospel of Christ, and now they wanted to know. They wanted to hear. They wanted what God had for them. You see, that's the story of missions. It's not the story of great evangelists, great preachers, people with great techniques for drawing crowds. It is simply ordinary people with an extraordinary God going out and sharing the good news of the gospel and seeing what God can do. And it is God who does it. Yes, those first 4.5 years were years of revival. We saw over 20 churches opened in that Montagna region. We went from 6 churches to 28 churches in those 4.5 years. And then the work spread into other parts throughout southern Romania. God was moving in power and in a most remarkable way, bringing crowds in to hear the gospel of Christ. And we saw the results of what God can do when we step back and say, yes, Lord, you're able to do immeasurably more than we ask or even imagine. The next 10 years were spent consolidating the work, preparing pastors to lead those churches that had been established. And God took us to Western Romania to work with what had been for some time an extension school from the Bible College in Osijek in Croatia, but now was to be a seminary there in Romania. And after several years there, after 7 years, we handed it over to national leadership, and we were given a fresh assignment to a region of Romania that was largely untouched by the earlier revival. Oh yes, the gospel had been preached and there were churches there, but they had written to the Assemblies of God headquarters and said, will you please send a missionary to Transylvania? Well, the moment you say Transylvania, some people begin to get a creepy feeling and they say, oh my, Transylvania. I don't know about Transylvania. Well, we went there in 2004 and we found them the most delightful people, open to the word of God. Wonderful things began to happen and God moved in a powerful way. Two of the students who graduated from the Bible College in Oradea went to lead a kindergarten in a gypsy village called Obor. And God did some amazing things there. They started out with just a few children in the kindergarten. They had to learn to speak and read and write Romanian so that they could go to the national schools because they had their own Roma language and it was different from Romanian. And so they wanted to be able to have an education of some sort. But one of the first things that they were taught was to pray over their meals before eating. Say a grace, say a blessing, whatever you want to call it. But they were taught to pray. They went home and told their parents, we have to pray before we eat. Their parents said, pray? What's pray? So they sent a delegation of 12 to the kindergarten to meet these two young ladies, and they said, what's this praying business? We don't know how to pray. We've never prayed. What do you do? What do you say? How does it happen? They said, will you teach us how to pray? So they started a Friday evening prayer class in one of the classrooms of the kindergarten. As they prayed, they learned that they could pray about any need that they had. They could pray about their own spiritual lives. They could pray about their feelings of guilt over their sins. They could pray about their health. They could pray about their families. They could pray about their financial needs. They could pray about any kind of need, and God would answer prayer, and God did. And that became at the centre of growth for that church, because other gypsies were invited to come on a Friday night to the prayer meeting. That became the main evangelistic service and outreach service of that church. And before long, they outgrew the one room, the 12 became 40, and the 40 moved into the dining room of the kindergarten. And when we became associated with it, when we moved there, because it had started just before we arrived in Transylvania, from there there was so many people attended that they began to fill the outside. One time they counted 150 people outside the kindergarten who were listening through the open windows. So many people were hungry for God and hungry to hear about the things of God. And the prayer meeting was the main center of that church's activity. If anybody had a problem in the village, they were invited to the prayer meeting. If anybody face any situation, to the prayer meeting they went. Didn't matter what the problem was, what the situation was. Eventually, they opened a second phase behind, and that was the day school. There had been a day school in just on the outskirts of the village in an old house, but that day school had collapsed. The building was very old and decrepit, and it had fallen in. And so there was no day school, but thanks to the Swedish and Romanian governments and the local Pentecostal church, they were able to build a day school for the children. As they graduated from the kindergarten, they could go to the day school. And the kids were learning to read and write, etc., there, and developing in the normal way. When the dedication of the day school was held, the chief of police came, and he spoke at that dedication, declaring, since the kindergarten opened 3 years before, the crime rate in this area has gone down by 80%. What a reduction in the crime rate. Regrettably, many gypsy communities have a bad reputation for criminal activity, but God transformed that whole community and did some amazing things. They came to the teachers again, the new teachers of the day school, and they said, our children are learning to read and write, but we, their parents, don't know how to read and write. We're illiterate. Would you please start an evening class teaching us parents how we can read and write so that we can get jobs? Because now that we're Christians, we don't engage in any kind of criminal activity. And we've got to feed our families, and we've got to do something that is honorable. And so they started an evening program called Second Chance and taught the adults how to read and write. An Italian shoe company was so impressed with what was going on that they decided to move to that area and open a shoe factory on the edge of the village of Obor, called the Melania Shoe Factory. You can even see it there today, right on the edge of Obor. And many of those gypsies, when they learned to read and write, got jobs at the Melania Shoe Factory at a salary double what they could get in any comparable Romanian community or work. They were getting $500+ a month at one point. And so it's just amazing what God did. God opened the door. God did something that was totally surprising. The church continued to grow, and we were involved with their growth, and so we raised the money to build a church. We went, after the opening of the church building, we went to a prayer meeting one Friday evening. 350 people gathered there that Friday evening, and we left after 5 hours, and the prayer meeting continued. The reason we had to leave was because our interpreter, he thought it was just going to be a typical prayer meeting lasting an hour or maybe 2 hours at the most, and he hadn't eaten. And so after 5 hours, the poor guy was starving, nearly passing out. And so we agreed that we would leave and take him so that he could get something to eat. Over 5 hours long, 350 people gathering together for prayer. Many of them came in unsaved. Their prayers were answered. Their lives were transformed. By the time they left, they were totally transformed by the power of God. God did amazing things. When we were there, just before we came back to the States in April, the second Sunday of April, we were there. That was our final service in Romania on this last visit. The pastor of the church told me, In the census that was done at the end of last year, of this village of 600 people, 1,200 people, 600 declared themselves to be Pentecostal. 50% of the village's population were Pentecostal believers. That's God. That is God. In any of our towns, or if half the town were Pentecostal, we would be very, very surprised. But God, when He moves, He's able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. It is He flowing through us. Whatever is achieved is not because of any power of our own. It is because His power flows through us and touches the lives of others. God is faithful to His word. He is faithful to minister to the needs of people and to the hearts and lives of those who are in need. We were in another village, Salanta, just recently, and well, we were there several years ago, while we were there then, a lady came forward for prayer. She was blind in one eye. Her eye was just completely white. And so as we came to pray for each individual, she closed her eyes and we prayed for her. When she opened her eyes, her eye was, the one that was white, was perfectly normal. God had instantaneously healed her and enabled her to see. When we were there just a few weeks ago, I was reminding them of what God had done as an encouragement, and suddenly this lady, Rosalie Fischetta, stood up at the back and she said, "And here I am, and I can see perfectly well." What God did has lasted. God is faithful. Yes, He is faithful to His word, and you can depend upon Him to do exactly what He has said He will do, and even more. Because God has a way of doing immeasurably more than all we ask or even imagine, according to His power that is at work within us. There is no limit to what God can do. We teach our theological students technical terms like omnipotence, the omnipotent God, the God who can do all things. But when you go to a country like Romania and you see what God does, you realize what omnipotence really means when it comes down to the everyday lives of ordinary people being transformed by the power of God. It's God who does it. It's not us. It's God who has done it all. And we praise God for the prayers of God's people. As you pray for missionaries, they are doing things that would, in their own strength and in their own power, be totally impossible and even unimaginable. But as they pray, and as you pray for them, God is flowing through those missionaries that you support. I thank you for praying for missionaries. I thank you that I trust you will pray for us in the future, because the same God that has been working in Romania and in other countries in the past is still at work today. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or even imagine. And maybe you've come here this night and you've got needs in your heart and in your life. I'd like to pray with you for those needs. If you have a special need in your life, or maybe it's a member of your family who doesn't know Christ, or maybe it's a neighbor or a friend or who has got a special need, whatever the need is, as we pray, if you will raise your hand, I know that God will not only hear the prayer of your heart and the prayer that is offered from this pulpit, but he will also do immeasurably more than you ask or even imagine, according to his power that is at work within you. Will you let God work through you right now? If you have a need or want to bring a specific need before the Lord, just raise your hand and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, you see every upraised hand, and we carry in our minds and in our hearts specific needs. We bring them before you, and we know that you are able to do immeasurably more than we ask or even imagine, according to your power at work within us. And to you be all the glory forever and ever, because you're the one who will do it, and you're the one who will make things happen, and you're the one who will transform every situation. We thank you, Lord, for the example of your servant Paul when he returned from his first missionary journey and declared all that God had done through him and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And Lord, we pray that you will open the door of faith to the nations of this world. And right here in America, you will once again open a door of faith that your people may see your work going forward. Your people will know that you are working in the same old way that you have always worked, because you're the Almighty God and you have all power. Lord, you can forgive those who need forgiveness for their sins. You can deliver those who are held captive by the enemy. You can heal those who are sick. You can bring financial sustenance for those who have financial needs. You can minister to each one according to their needs. Lord, there's nothing impossible with you. You're the God who hears and answers prayer, and we rejoice in God our Savior, because you do all things well. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and for the glory of your name alone, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I think we have we got a few minutes if there are any questions or anything, and I will be certainly honored to answer your questions if I am able to. And if not, as I used to tell my students, I'll make up an answer and you'll never know the difference. No, I wouldn't do that. Does anyone have any questions about what God is doing in our world, or especially in Eastern Europe, which is the one part I'm most familiar with? No questions? Your pastor told me that you like to ask questions, so either you didn't understand a word of what that I said, or else I answered all your questions already. Yes, sir? Yes, there are.